Testament reading is Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, Pew Bible, page 1918. Then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw the mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep," said the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, and he, as tremble, he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. He's encircled by four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which were seven spirits of God sent out to all earth. He went to the scroll from the right hand of him and sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of God's people.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great or servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God. Gracious and merciful God, we ask that you would help us to understand what true greatness looks like in your eyes. Help us to seek it, to strive for it. Be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the question I have for you all today is, what does greatness look like? Now, when I was a kid, it looked like all of my favorite, and I loved baseball, basketball, football, and I would spend hours outside pretending I was doing all the great moments throughout history. I was up to bat, bases loaded, full count, team's down by three. Let's do it, baby. Boom! Yeah! And I would even do this crowd sounds. Yeah! Great Marshall! And I would just practice like it was ever happened in my life. Just live out these athletes' greatest moments, the high-pressure moments, coming through for my team at just the right moment. And later, greatness would take the shape of astronauts, actors, movie directors, professional wrestlers, and rock stars. Because for me, at that time, greatness was always reserved for people with great accomplishments. People who could rise above the masses, right? Like an ascending angel into the sky, like they're all, like those people are just lifted up above you, you know, and they're like, look at what I did. Aren't I special? I remember it was a big deal for me. I met one of my professional bowlers when I was like 12 years old. He was at a banquet for my bowling league. And I met him. He walked into, he was so short, and I thought this guy was supposed to be like larger than life, little guy. I was almost as big as him, and I was a skinny kid. And here he was. And I remember thinking, is that what greatness looks like? And he was a great bowler, Parker Bone III. And you could be there and see him. But I remember that was the first time in my life that the crack of greatness kind of first started to shake. Now, the most important thing here is that most of the time, greatness was always something people stood up, noticed, and celebrated, right? It was this kind of greatness that James and John were thinking about when they asked Jesus if they could sit on his right and his left side in his glory. They had this dream of a triumphant Jesus, an earthly throne in which they could be considered great amongst men because of their closeness to Christ. This is one of those questions that from the disciples where you start to wonder if they were ever even listening to Jesus in the first place. Just before this section where James and John asked this question, Jesus had just finished telling them for the third time about his upcoming death, about what he was going to go through. And now here they were asking Jesus for positions of power. What are you doing? What were they thinking? They didn't have the faintest idea what it would mean to be on either side of Jesus in his glory, right? Because we know who those two men were. Either on his right and left-hand side of the cross. Yet Jesus is patient with them. He lays it out clearly. He says, you want to be great? You want to be great? You want to know what it means to be great in the eyes of God? It's not like the definition of greatness. It's not kings, rulers, powers, principalities, military might, weapons of mass destruction. It's not exercising authority over others. No, those who want to be great must be servant to all, slave of all. Jesus says that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life for many. Greatness is not about what people are willing to sacrifice for you, but what you are willing to sacrifice for others. Now, this is where I get a little messed up in the head. Because I start to think about the generosity others have shown to me, The overwhelming grace that has been shoveled into my life every week, every day, every hour, and how little I have given back. About how I have sought greatness through the recognition of my gifts, my talents, how every Sunday I come in here and I try to wow you with an energetic sermon. I have pursued popularity over service. And I'm still seeking greatness as the Lord finds it. True greatness in the eyes of God does not seek for recognition. Rather goes about its business, goes in their midst, and knows that life, meaningful life, is found in how much you give instead of how much you collect. This definition of tough because it asks a lot from us. A tidal shift in our thinking, a refocusing of our actions about this definition that overwhelms me all the time is that it is available to everybody. It's not about what seat you sit in, right? It's not about how many people recognize you or say thank you to you, oh, you're so wonderful, or try to rise you above the rest of us. It's available to each and every one of you if you're to give, to serve, and to make that your life's goal. To fill your life with something meaningful. Service. Giving of your gifts. Giving of your wealth and even of the things that you love. We're reading a book in the parents' class right now called Accidental Saints. And in that book, the author, Nadia Bowles Weber, talks about this story about the thief coming in the night and says, normally we interpret that as a bad thing. But what if you flipped it? And Jesus is the thief who is coming in the middle of the night to steal all your stuff. I love this story. Steal all your stuff, right? And the idea being that are you willing to lose all the things in your life that you're in order to serve? Are you willing to lose those things that are getting in the way of your to serve? What Jesus is talking about in this passage, servant to all, service. And everybody is capable of it. It's not just for a special few. It's in each and every something we all are capable of. Give away what you have. Give of your body. Give of your time. Give of your energy. Lift others up. Striving for to lift them up. Section of chapter 5 where there is a scroll. There are 7 seals. And the scroll represents the future of all the world, of the universe, plan for the universe. Yet there's nobody anywhere that is capable of. All of the angels are going, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy? But then, who shows up? Well, we're told it's a lion. The Lion of Judah is before you. But what shows up? A dead lamb. A lamb who was slain. This is important, right? Because if you see a dead animal, that's not something you... Great. That's something sad is what Jesus does. Flips our understanding of greatness. As greatness is not about being triumphant, but being humble. About being faithful to the end. And that lamb, Jesus, offering his entire life so that we may be lifted from the brokenness. So my question is, what does greatness mean? Are you stuck in the world's definition, or do you understand that greatness is in service? And this is one of the reasons why church matters. Because in here, greatness differently than how the world defines it. When people come through these doors, it isn't about raising up individuals as great people, recognizing that each and every one of us is capable of greatness. Not because of recognition, not because of how popular we are, because we are of serving, of giving of our life so that others may have life. That is our calling. Live into that this week.